Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Tens of thousands are bracing for days without power in a North Carolina county where authorities say two power substations were shot up over the weekend.
Duke Energy says it's earmarking $100,000 for the Moore County, North Carolina community whose residents could be without power for days. Andrew Wilkins is one of them.
It's frustrating. It's unfortunate. It's frankly, in some levels, infuriating.
The FBI has joined the investigation into the power substation being shot Saturday. Moore County Sheriff Ronnie Fields.
The individual that done the damage knew exactly what they were doing.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas weighed in.
Early evidence suggests that it was deliberate.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Georgia holds its Senate runoff election tomorrow, and Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock faces Republican challenger Herschel Walker. Warnock is urging his supporters to show up and vote.
Don't dance until we brought this thing on home.
CBS's Nicole Killian says voter turnout is a concern for both candidates.
The focus is really on driving turnout election day, but there's real concern since the forecast is calling for heavy rain today and tomorrow. Both campaigns are urging voters not to let the weather deter them.
More than a million Georgians have already cast their ballots in early voting. Former President Trump is facing criticism for suggesting parts of the Constitution should be suspended in order to reinstall him as president. Jessica Levinson is a professor at Loyola Law School.
The idea that the former president of the United States is talking about trashing our Constitution and basically tearing up the rule of law should be absolutely disqualifying. But what I think we've seen is that it's not right now in politics in America in 2022.
The former president posted his statement on his Truth Social media platform. Ukraine's energy operator is warning emergency shutdowns will occur in all regions as it contends with the consequences of a new wave of Russian attacks. MTS Taieb reports from Kyiv.
Russia's frenzied attack on Ukraine today really fits into with what it's been doing for the past several weeks, which is essentially weaponizing winter.
Airline bookings have eased over the past few weeks after peaking in October. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
Bank of America says credit and debit card data indicates that airfare demand was down 5.6% during Thanksgiving week from the prior week and down nearly 9% from the same pre-pandemic week in 2019.
James Howard Jackson has been sentenced to serve 21 years in prison. He's the man who shot Lady Gaga's dog walker and stole her French bulldogs last year. He was one of five men who participated in the violent robbery. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 6th. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The City of Wisconsin Rapids will hold their Finance and Property Committee meeting at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The City of Stevens Point will hold their Police and Fire Commission meeting at 2 p.m. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10 a.m. at the Portage County Law Enforcement Center LEC Training Room. The Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m. in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the same rooms. The Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7 p.m., also in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Land and Water and UWEX Committee meeting will take place from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A few flurries possible at times, tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 16, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 32, tomorrow, overcast skies. Tomorrow night, lows around 17. A mix of clouds and sun, Wednesday, with highs around...
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. About to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition. Dom, I like to let my quarterback do all my talking for me on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
And although I was losing a little faith in the COVID king, Aaron Rodgers, he still owns your ass, Chicago. Welcome, you WCPT 820 AM listeners. The trash talking has commenced here in the NFC Norris Division. Packers 28, Bears 19. I would like to just point out, all is still right in the world because the Bears still suck.
What a wonderful game. I had the opportunity to watch a little bit with my Bears-loving buddy Kuchka and coax him into a, you know, just a friendly wager by pushing the line. He still lost. So much fun. But I do got to tell you, Crudy, I mean, given right now I'm looking at the NFC North standings, and while the Vikings are running away with it at 10-2, my Lions are sitting in second place at 5-7 ahead of the Green Bay Packers.
They will not make the playoffs. That's my prediction.
As long as the Lions finish higher than the Bears at the end of the season, all is right with the world.
Okay. Well, as long as they finish below the Packers, then all is right with the world. That and the fact the Bears do still suck. Sorry, you Bears fans.
Breaking news, the Bears still suck.
Yes, they do. And also, hour one, we broke a little news to our audience. The former president would like to terminate the Constitution, Dom.
No. He came out and said today that he didn't really say that, and that's just, you know, all a lie from the fake media, even though it's still up on his Truthy social media site.
Well, that was sort of a qualified termination of the Constitution. Only if I'm not reinstated as president, then it should be terminated. Because
sure,
he didn't want it broadly terminated, just really for his benefit, if I understood his logic, Dom.
Isn't everything for Trump's benefit?
Well, if he gets his way. Interesting reporting over the weekend, Dom. You put it up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Donald Trump took some money from North Korea while the president didn't disclose.
What? I mean, I cannot imagine. I'm sure all the Hunter Biden laptop folks are going to be opening investigations into this immediately.
They get the gavel soon. I'm almost sure it'll be one of the first things they investigate. Almost sure, Dom. I had not seen this before. You brought this to my attention. This was at the Huffington Post. Trump had hidden $19.8 million loan from North Korea linked company as president. What? Trump failed to disclose the loan, which was paid off months after he took office, Forbes reported. So Trump was actively borrowing money from North Korean companies. I mean, in the whole scheme of monies borrowed by Trump, $20 million is not an extremely large number. But the sourcing, sort of problematic. That's Kim Jong-un territory. That's behind, I don't know what you call the curtain, but it's behind it. That is behind the communist curtain.
You got to pay postage for those love letters, Crudy. Listen, $20 million is still a lot of money. Let's not, I mean, we understand we're talking about Trump in the context of hundreds of million dollars. For instance, he's getting sued by this by the state of New York for $250 million. So in that term, yeah, it's not as much. Certainly, $20 million is still a lot of money. Here's what the reporting says at the Huff Post. Trump owed money to LP Daewoo while he was campaigning in 2016 and into his presidency, according to the records. He didn't list, minor detail here. I want to throw this out there. These documents were uncovered by the New York Attorney General's office. That's how we know that Donald Trump had this money on the books, paid it off, $20 million to a company tied to North Korea, because documents were uncovered by the New York Attorney General's office.
Well, that's unusual in and of itself, the fact that he paid it off.
He didn't list the debt in financial disclosure filings, as candidates and presidents are expected to do, Forbes reported. Loan was paid off just over five months into his presidency. Forbes said the documents didn't specify who satisfied it. So there's one question, right? Daewoo is a South Korean conglomerate that partnered with Trump on a development project near the United Nations headquarters in New York City and on several other projects over the years. The company has ties to North Korea, Forbes reported, and was the only South Korean company allowed to operate a business in North Korea in the mid-1990s. Huffington Post reports that Trump may have skirted disclosure laws and not committed an outright violation because the loan was on the books of his company, the Trump Organization, and not identified as a personal loan, Forbes noted. The debt would have sparked conflict of interest concerns over an American president's indebtedness to a foreign operation vulnerable to influence by North Korea's rogue government. Trump often gushed about his close relationship with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Little Rocket Man.
Such loans are largely reported on an honor system because the U.S. Office of Government Ethics has neither resources nor the power to delve into a president's assets. If someone does not disclose a loan, OGE has no way to know. So let's think about this and know who we're talking about. Number one, the honor system. You're right. This is Donald Trump. There is no honor. There is no system. Number two, we know how Donald Trump categorizes. Yes, he may have skirted any issues because it was may an outright violation because it was a loan on the books of his company, the Trump Organization. But, you know, so were the payments to Stormy Daniels. You know what I mean? That's not legit because it's on the books as one way doesn't make it accurate. For example, Donald Trump or maybe the kids, whoever's got the ATM for Trump Organization, could go take $5,000 out for hookers and blow, and you could book it as professional fees or charity, and no one would know the difference so long as the books balance out unless you get audited. No one's going to know. Or you could slide in a new corporation and pay that corporation a little money laundering. No one would know. It's not going to be the honor system unless you get audited and they delve deep into these kinds of things, which we know Donald Trump's 6 years of taxes just handed over to Congress, finally. We're given a couple of weeks to dig into all these things. I guarantee you, this is not the only kind of a connection that Donald Trump has with other corporations, certainly other governments, other corporations in other countries, which should certainly be looked at. I mean, if you're going to talk about influencing, these are the kinds of things that would concern any single auditor.
You know, Dom, the question becomes, perhaps for some, why would Trump want to set the Constitution aside now? Why now? Why the timing? Why the logic of now to set aside the Constitution? He's had all this time to set it aside. Hell, he was the president. He tried. A little bit from Philip Bump here at the Washington Post. From the first months after polls closed, November 3rd, 2020, Donald Trump has been working to undo the voters' decision. This effort has ebbed and flowed in the immediate aftermath of the election. It was fairly quiet, centered on normal, futile legal responses. Soon after, though, it became dangerous as Trump tried to encourage his allies to simply set aside his loss. And then, as he drew people to Washington to oppose the moment in which Joe Biden's victory was formalized, then it ebbed again as the former president, stripped of his largest social media platforms, was forced to make his case to friendly right-wing media outlets. And then on social media platform he created, you know, Dom, the Truthy Social. From January of 2021 until recently, Trump's rhetoric has risen and fallen largely out of public sight as he's embraced weird theories like those of the MyPillow CEO, Mike Lindell, or debunked nonsense like the film 2000 Mules as ways to advocate for his own reinstatement. This weekend, though, he went further than he has since leaving office. "A massive fraud of this type and magnitude," he wrote on Truth Social, "allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections." That's the Crudy Trump voice. If you haven't heard it before, I'm sure you're reaching for your radio dial.
Don't do it. You're welcome.
Don't turn it off. I'm almost done. It's obviously ridiculous to suggest that the founding fathers would advocate terminating the Constitution, given that they wrote the Constitution, right? They didn't have the termination clause. Maybe hadn't seen the movie yet. It is more ridiculous, though, to suggest that Trump's loss in 2020 was so tainted by fraud that there's no satisfactory response short of throwing out the American system and installing him as leader once again. There's no evidence of any significant fraud or deception, all caps if Trump would write it, as he also claimed in his post, at all, in fact. So why is Trump making this extraordinarily anti-democratic claim now? Three reasons, Dom. First, his supporters have rallied around new details involving the limits on anti-Biden story in 2020. Second, the midterm elections reinvigorated his claims about election fraud. And third, his path back to the Republican nomination, much less the White House, is less certain now than at any point since he left office. And the Hunter Biden laptop story, Dom? Well, the immediate trigger for Trump's complaint was the release of the internal Twitter documents on Friday, showing how the company debated its decision to limit sharing of the New York Post story from October 2020 about a laptop belonging to Joe Biden's son. The document shared by Twitter owner Elon Musk with a sympathetic reporter, that's Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone, right, Dom, didn't include much new information and didn't significantly change the understanding of how and why the company made the decision. They certainly did neutralize the broader context that demanded caution on the story in the first place. Instead, the release of the emails created a new nexus of attention for baseless claims that limiting the story hampered Trump's victory. So we got to throw out the Constitution, Dom, and if you're a Bears fan, you'd like to throw out the outcome of, like, 9 consecutive ball games, right?
Do over. We didn't lose. Aaron Rodgers.
Run out of time. No, he still owns your ass. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The Big Monday Edition.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. but I am not a criminal.
I work for youth advocate programs, yet I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers. But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when we hear from you at 844-967-2789.
So Elon Musk delivered a nothing burger a la the reporting of Matt Taibbi. And normally I like Matt Taibbi at the Rolling Stone, but this was a nothing burger. The fact that the New York Post had somehow had its singular story depressed on Hunter Biden actually probably brought more attention to the fact that Twitter was suppressing this particular story about Hunter Biden and this, what, laptop from hell he had left at a repair store with a four-name guy who wears a kilt. And anyways, Tom, that was enough of an excuse over the course of the weekend for Donald Trump to say, well, of course, the Constitution should be terminated. And even Washington Post, ghostwriter for Scotty Winker, Mark Thiessen. You remember that guy who wrote the Unintimidated book because Scott Walker can't write? Even he is, you know, saying this might be a bridge too far. Throwing out the Constitution may not be agreeable to some Republicans.
The quote from the very conservative Mark Thiessen in his opinion piece at the Washington Post right now. With his call to terminate the Constitution, Trump is spinning out of control. It's like the Republicans are in disarray.
Well, Dominic, did you know that there is new reporting at the Washington Post at this hour? Trump's committee, you know, think of the Save America Super PAC, has been paying for the lawyers of key Mar-a-Lago witnesses. This may just pose a conflict, like a legal dilemma. Save America PAC has spent millions on Trump-related legal fees filing show. Some say paying for witnesses' lawyers poses a conflict. A little bit from the new reporting at the Washington Post, Devlin Barrett, Josh Dossi, and Isaac Stanley Becker bylined here. Former President Donald Trump's Political Action Committee is paying legal bills for some key witnesses involved in the Justice Department investigation into whether Trump mishandled classified documents. I can't see any conflicts in that sentence whatsoever, Dom. Why is that problematic? Oh, yeah. Into the Trump mishandled classified documents, obstructed the investigation, or destroyed government documents, and according to people familiar with the matter. So, the witnesses are being paid by the Trump Super PAC. The political fees, the legal fees, if you will, Dom. The witnesses, including Kash Patel, who has testified in front of the grand jury and is key to Trump's defense, along with Walt Nauta, a potentially critical prosecution witness, according to these people, who, like others, interviewed, spoke on condition of anonymity, to discuss an ongoing criminal probe. Nada, a Trump valet. It's always the coffee boy or the valet that moves into prominence, Dom, has told FBI agents he was instructed by the former president to move boxes at Mar-a-Lago, even as government investigators were trying to recover classified documents at the private club and residence, according to people familiar with the matter. So the Trump valet is moving the documents from the Trump president. That's
after
not a shocker.
The subpoena.
That wouldn't be a shocker to me, Dom. And the fact that Trump is paying the legal fees. Now, Kash Patel came over from Devin Nunes's political office. Well, I guess it was his house office, but it was all a political office when he was running it. Both Patel and Nauta are represented by Brand Woodward Law, which, according to public records, has been paid more than $120,000 by Trump's Save America PAC. Stan Brand, the top lawyer at the firm, said, "There's nothing improper about the PAC paying legal bills for witnesses in the investigations." Well, not if you're cashing those checks. Apparently, you don't think it's improper, Dom. Another lawyer not involved in the case, however, said it could encourage witnesses to not cooperate.
You think?
There's no bar against third parties paying for legal fees as long as it's disclosed to the client. The ethical obligation of the lawyers to the client. This is a tempest in a teapot and another cheap shot at these people because of who they work for. Yeah, the guy that's paying their legal fees in a case that he is being investigated, and they're all prime witnesses in.
Yeah, but they're painted out of the pack, which is even funnier because those are all, you know, Trump's suckers. Crudy Jim Walden, the former federal prosecutor, said the payment arrangement raises concerns about whether the reimbursement of legal fees may influence what the witnesses say or do.
Maybe.
And he noted that if Justice Department officials have ethical concerns, they could ask a judge to, at a minimum, question the clients about whether they are certain their interests are being protected. A quote from Walden, it looks like the Trump Political Action Committee is either paying for the silence of these witnesses for them to take the fifth or for favorable testimony, Walden said. These circumstances should look very suspicious to the Justice Department, and there's a judicial mechanism for them to get court oversight if there's a conflict. Other witnesses represented by Brand Woodward, whose legal bills are being paid by Trump's PAC.
Wait for it.
Longtime advisor Dan Scavino and at least one other personal aide who has testified in front of the grand jury, the people familiar with the matter said. We don't comment on any vendor payments, and everything the group spends on is publicly reported and in accordance with the law, said Stephen Shung, a Trump's spokesman. Stephen Gillers, a professor of legal ethics emeritus at New York University Law School, said such arrangements are common in the corporate world and should only be concerning in some circumstances. The problems arise when the person paying the fees chooses the lawyer and has an interest in how the lawyer represents the client. Oh, like, I don't know, exactly in this case? He cited the case of former White House staffer Cassidy Hutchinson, who became a whole lot more cooperative with the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th assault after she switched lawyers. Gillers noted that the Justice Department can ask a judge to remove a lawyer from a case if it has reason to think the lawyer is not acting in the client's interest. Trump has been willing to have his PAC pay the bills of aides who are loyal to him or continue to work for him, the people said. The Republican National Committee has paid legal bills for Trump advisors in the past, including probes of alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election, and has shouldered more than $1.5 million in legal bills for Trump since he left office. My understanding, Crudy, though, the RNC going to nix those payments because now Trump said he's running for president.
Is that what he says? Do you believe
him? That's what he says. I don't believe it.
Come back with us. We'll take your phone calls. Do you believe us? Believe us. 844-96-PARTY.
Bringing some sanity to from the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors: Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria, Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company, Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly, and Brenda Pietrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated, and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and Locally Grown Radio.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends, whatever makes their holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit countryhearthbreads.com/sweeps.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Former Milwaukee Elections Commission Deputy Director Kimberly Zapata made her initial court appearance on Friday, where she posted a $2,500 signature bond. She entered not guilty pleas to three misdemeanor counts of making a false statement to obtain an absentee ballot. She is also charged with misconduct in public office, which is a felony. Zapata is represented by an attorney from the Thomas More Society, a conservative law firm that assisted former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman in his review of the 2020 election, which was funded by taxpayers. Zapata's next court appearance will be December 9th. Wisconsin gas prices are falling. AAA reports the statewide average for regular was $3.70 a gallon on Friday. That's about 60 cents lower than a month ago. Some stations are selling gas for less than $3 a gallon. Experts are predicting prices will go even lower this week. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A few flurries possible at times, tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 16, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 32, tomorrow, overcast skies. Tomorrow night, lows around 17. A mix of clouds and sun, Wednesday, with highs around 33. 35, Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Republican nominee Ron DeSantis. Do you see the new reporting? You know, recently minted, reelected, double digits in Florida. I would point out if you ask nicely, Dom, but I point out.
Please?
Charlie Crist was his opponent in Florida. And Charlie Crist did not satisfactorily turn out Democratic voters. And Charlie Crist is a former governor of Florida.
Right.
But he's the former Republican governor of Florida.
Right.
So while DeSantis is being given a lot of credit for a double-digit victory over Charlie Crist, the new-style Republican beat the old-style Republican. I didn't see a Democratic candidate in that race. And no offense to Val Demings. She didn't do well, didn't fare well against Marco Rubio, all things considered, in her senatorial race. But I sure do wish she was top of the ticket and it wasn't Charlie Crist. They'd have done better with Val Demings running for governor, to my opinion.
But I agree with that one, right?
Curdy. Let's talk about the corruption of the reelected governor as he pivots to run for the presidency, Dom. It reminds me a lot of the corruption of former Governor Scott Walker right here in the state of Wisconsin. A lot of parallels in these guys. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' inauguration celebration. Oh, it's going to be an extravaganza, Dom. Expected to be spread out over 2 days. And will give up close access to donors willing to contribute between $50,000 and $1 million. According to a breakdown of sponsorship packages, his inaugural sponsorship, Dom, five donors who give $1 million to the Republican Party of Florida will be recognized as inaugural chair sponsors who will receive tickets to a candlelight dinner the night before the inauguration. Oh, that's priceless. VIP seating at the inauguration ceremony held on the steps of the old Capitol, as well as tickets to the inaugural ball and a toast to 1 million mamas, the campaign group put together by First Lady Casey DeSantis, in a photo opportunity with the governor. $1 million gets you a photo, tickets to like four events, and you get to be part of Casey DeSantis' group.
And some chewy chicken.
Other packages, Dom, ranging from $500,000 all the way down to $25,000 for the peasants. Also give access to many of the same events, but donors won't receive as many tickets. Probably not as many photos either, right? DeSantis' next term starts on January 3rd, and Florida governors are traditionally sworn in at noon on that day. The inauguration will give DeSantis an opportunity to demonstrate his fundraising prowess. That's how it's done. You remember when Scott Walker was at the Wisconsin State Capitol for his inauguration after 2014, so January 15th. And Scott Walker was clearly, evidently going to run for president very much
already,
like,
yes,
like this semi-fascist DeSantis down in Florida. And he had Frazier Freeze. He had all the rich guys in the audience in the very front row. Scott Walker did. Now, I don't know if he actually sold tickets or just collected private checks, because, of course, Scott Walker didn't declare his candidacy until September of that year. But he was running all year long, Tom. He raised over $40 million for an undeclared campaign, right? Scott Walker did?
Yes.
He used the campaign finance laws. He flaunted them, much like he did in the state of Wisconsin, when he was breaking the campaign finance laws and coordinating his efforts with outside groups, third-party coordination. It was illegal when he did it. And then he got the Our Wisconsin Revolution, or Our American Revolution, and, created a super PAC and basically ran for the presidency. But by the time he actually made the announcement, Tom, it was short-lived, 71 days, and then crash and burn. Well, here's what I predict. Ron DeSantis got all the fundraising prowess of Scotty Wanker after he won a recall, and he's got all the charisma of Scott Walker as well. I mean, might slightly better hair. Certainly a more dynamic and more powerful, more photogenic wife than Casey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy it. I mean, I know DeSantis is out there selling it, but much like Scott Walker, I mean, I don't buy it. It seems forced. It seems contrite. So I think you're right. I think this will be, his last big blow up in Florida. Politico goes on to report, and we'll just wrap it up with this one. DeSantis is not expected to formally announce his candidacy until after the regular session of the Florida legislature. But once DeSantis becomes a federal candidate, his ability to raise large amounts for Republicans in his home state will be limited, meaning that the inauguration celebration may be one of his last big events where he can help send money to the state party. Florida doesn't limit how much can be given to the state party and political action committees, nor does it bar donations from corporations. DeSantis held 2 days of events during his 2017 inauguration, which also included an appreciation event for military veterans and first responders, as well as a legislative luncheon that was held at the Florida Capitol outside the main entrance into to the House and Senate chambers. The list of events held in 2017 and in early 2023 are not quite as extensive as those held by previous Florida governors. Former Governor Rick Scott in 2011 held an inauguration parade as well as an open house at the governor's mansion. He brought back the inaugural ball after it was scrapped in 07 by Charlie Crist, you know, the Republican slash Democrat who just lost to DeSantis, scrapped by Crist due to the economic crisis at the time. Scott 4 years later held a six city jobs jamboree that featured barbecues ahead of his second inauguration.
Well, DeSantis, he's the next big thing. Now they'll talk about how much money he's got in his war chest. You know, he'll have nearly as large a war chest, if not larger, than Donald Trump. And you know how Trump likes to compare war chest with other men. And
just sit back to back, fellas. You'll be okay.
And I think I was wrong on the timelines. Actually, Scott Walker waited until after the, I think it was described as his crap budget, was passed through the legislature. And he signed it at Waukesha because I was there. I was at the budget signing. And then the next day, he had Maria Butina come down for the presidential announcement, the convicted the Russian NRA spy. Lady. And then 71 days later, Scott Walker faded from the race, much like Ron DeSantis will do. Because here's what DeSantis thinks. He fits the mold. You know, if Republicans were picking a candidate out at the magazine, he comes straight out of the JCPenney's catalog, right? But when it comes time to debate against Donald Trump, this non-traditional candidate, and Donald Trump still will have impact over the nomination process, and I think he's going to crush DeSantis. I don't think DeSantis has any real backbone. I think DeSantis is entirely thin-skinned. I think that Trump will crush him, much like Scott Walker had his little ego and his ambitions of a presidential future crushed under the heel of Donald Trump. As soon as you put DeSantis on the debate stage with Trump, he fades. He's a little man. His war chest will not match up.
You know, they all have their issues, Crudy, no doubt about it. And I think you're generally right. Of course, I don't think Trump will make it to the debate stage with DeSantis, but DeSantis has his own problems.
I was right about Janelle Branchon running for the eighth. See, Kuchka's tweeting at you. Kuchka's got a campaign slogan. Gina suggested that you should run in Wisconsin's 8th Senate district.
Mm-hmm.
And Kuchka, the Ukrainian, says your campaign slogan, dominate.
Dominate. Oh, nice. Dominate. I like that.
Dom and eight. We always celebrate. Something like that. You know, we get a little cheer going. 844-967-2789. Dom and eight. Jack from Merrimack. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, well... I have no idea why people aren't prosecuting Trump, even as we speak. This is getting ridiculous.
They are, Jack. I mean, what makes you think they're not?
Well, I haven't seen any charges.
The lack of indictments and charges, right, Jack?
Investigate, investigate, investigate. That's all I see. So,
Jack, don't you think the fact that the Philbin or the Pats, right, and Cipollone gave testimony last week to a federal grand jury, it seems to me if you're finally getting those guys and they are forced to talk and they don't have any, you know, BS privilege claims, don't you think this seems to be getting near to the end of that particular one of many investigations into Donald Trump? Don't you see that as a good sign, Jack?
It's a good sign, but you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. If this guy can advocate, I mean, he's advocating suspending the Constitution. That's advocating overthrowing the government of the United States. And that, last I read anything about it, is an unlawful act, very clearly. You know, free speech is one thing. It's saying, let's go out and overturn the government of the United States, the entire government, because that's what is based on the Constitution. If that isn't against the law, I don't know. I don't know what is. You know, but like I say, I don't think that's free speech anymore.
Thanks for the call, Jack. Appreciate it. You know, not being in a position of power, being basically an old retired guy from Florida, you know, going off on a social media rant, I'm not clear that rises to the level of seditious conspiracy. That particular act, no. His communications with Roger Stone, perhaps, and those subsequent communications with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and all that, that might be something, Jack. But, you know, the crazy old guy ranting in Florida from his beach house, I don't know if that quite gets there, but I appreciate your sentiment, Jack.
Dominic, don't know if you saw the newest headlines from the Washington Post. Stuff keeps breaking during the course of this big program. Rupert Murdoch to give deposition in Dominion's $1.6 billion lawsuit against Foxy News.
Oh, wasn't his son supposed to testify as well?
On Monday, the Washington Post reported that the billionaire media tycoon Rupert Murdoch will be deposed as part of the $1.6 billion defamation suit by Dominion Voting Systems against Foxy News. Here's a quote, Dom. The lawsuit alleges that the network purportedly aired false claims about Dominion's role in the 2020 presidential election to boost ratings and fight off competition from more conservative-leaning television networks. Just think about that. Just think if we had to shape the news coverage here to fight off like a farther left. Like if we don't lie substantially enough to our audience, the left is going to take it from us. You know, because there's a Newsmax, and there's other
OAN, yes, and Right Side Media, and all those other fringe outlets.
According to the filing, Murdoch's deposition will be conducted remotely via video conference. Rupert Murdoch is the highest profile person to be deposed by lawyers for Dominion, which has spent the past few months hauling in network executives, producers, and hosts to answer questions about whether they knew that claims made about Dominion technology on Fox airwaves were false. I suspect they did, Dom. Many of the most egregious comments were made by unpaid guests, including Donald Trump-affiliated attorneys Rudy Giuliani and Release the Kraken Sidney Powell, though some were echoed by Fox hosts, including Jeanine Pirro, Maria Bartiromo, and Lou Dobbs, who no longer works for the company. Lou must have crossed the line even by Foxy News standards. This comes after Rupert Murdoch's son, Fox Corp Executive Chair Lachin Murdoch, was deposed earlier today.
Ah,
so
excellent.
The kid has already been deposed. Daddy's next.
Well, and let's not forget or downplay the role that Fox News, not only in this case, but what they did to the national conversation. They fed into this big lie. They fed this crazy notion, knowing it was wrong, and helped foment the attack on the Capitol. That's the result.
Dominion also deposed Hannity, Pirro, Tucker Carlson, and Shepard Smith. Come back. We'll depose you on the phone next. 844-967-2789. More devils.
Today, I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only 1 in 3 Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, sort of interesting. David Blaska, known curmudgeon, sort of a GOP guy. We actually took his invitation to crash Scott Walker's party at the RNC at Shooters on the River, if you'll recall. He was an alternative RNC delegate, and he said, come to the party. So we did, and we got
we
in.
Did.
But Blaska and I, through, you know, strange relationships, politics makes strange bedfellows, Tom. Mm. But we're friends on Facebook. And Blaska posted up an article from the National Review. When Trump promises to be a tyrant, take him at his word. And just one paragraph that Blaska chose to share with his buddies on Facebook, I guess myself included. Trump's victory in 16 was free and fair, and his loss in 2020 was too. Trump lost his re-election bid because he was an ill-disciplined boor. And if he were to secure the nomination in 2024, he'd lose that race for the same reason. One does not have to renounce his many achievements, as it's written here at the National Review, in office, to observe the man as a loser and a cheat, or to notice that he's turned a significant number of his fans into losers and cheats as well. What Trump did in the immediate aftermath of the 2020 election was monstrous. What he has taken to suggesting since is even worse. Terminate the Constitution, baby. Get rid of it. Reinstate me. And let's not forget, Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, GOP leader, effectively legislative leader in the state, was the very last January 6th witness, because Donald Trump was still pressuring him this year to decertify and overturn the outcome of the 2020 election before this weekend. And light of a nothing burger being delivered by Elon Musk and Matt Taibbi, effectively, what, they took down some junk pics of Hunter Biden. That's the big breaking news. And Trump thinks you should terminate the Constitution because, of course, it was so unfair to him that people didn't get to see Hunter Biden's dick pics on Twitter. Throw out the election.
844-967-2789.
Do I oversimplify?
And how many Republicans, Curtis? It's one thing for Blaska to come out and say something. He's not an elected official right now. Where's Robin Voss? Where's Scott Fitzgerald? Where's Gallagher, right? Where are these Republicans who claim to be so in love with the Constitution? What? McCarthy said, you know, he wants to be the Speaker, right? Republicans have their chance. When they get on the floor for the first time in years, they're going to read the Constitution word for word, line by line.
Who's going to read the 3/5 Amendment, I wonder?
Yeah, right, exactly. And where are you now? Where their silence, of course, it amounts to support. 844-967-2789. We support our audience. Dick, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, Gallagher's dead. Oh, that's the comedian.
I love Gallagher.
Yeah, I did too. You know, after this last weekend, guys, I'm sorry, I couldn't agree with Jack from Merrimack more. I could not. At what point is this not like catamount to yelling fire in a theater? This is a treasonous statement from this clown this last weekend. And it's very, very dangerous to this country. And here's the worst thing about it in my mind is there's nary a one. Cheney has said something. Otherwise, no one in the Republican side of the aisle has said anything about that ridiculous, crazy statement of his.
Well, Dick, here's the difference that I would draw a subtle distinction, if you will. His newest call to terminate the Constitution, he's not empowered to do that. But his prior incitement of a mob during January 6th, he did have that within his ability to do. So when we talk about these strong words like seditious conspiracy or treason, I would draw a distinction with both you and Jack's characterization of this current statement. Let's set aside the Constitution, terminate it. Well, you could say whatever you want. That's actually enshrined in that very Constitution he'd like to set aside, the First Amendment part. You can say that. But I think it will be proven in a court of law, Dom, that he was insightful of the mob, that he incited the violence and the coup against democracy, against his own vice president. That part, I think, is the actual seditious conspiracy, the actual treason that will be on his tombstone someday.
Well, and the continued response from Trump while out of power, these same anti-constitutional remarks, goes to state of mind, if nothing else. 844-967-2789.
Yeah, he didn't change. He didn't get better since January 6th.
Right. Jeff from Madison, you're up. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. No, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. Call us back. Let's go, Paul. You are next. Welcome. What do you got for us, Paulie?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, I don't really get the... good afternoon, Devils, by the way. Hey, I don't really get the DeSantis thing whenever I see him on TV. The man, I don't know if I've ever seen him smile or laugh or anything, but I'll tell you what, if Trump isn't taken down, and I don't know, I'm starting to get worried. He may escape all this stuff. I think he wins the nomination for the GOP again.
I sure do hope so, Paul. That would really make me a happy man. If Donald Trump is the nominee of the Republican Party, I don't care if it's Joe Biden or your mama, the Democratic Party is going to win the White House, and we'll go to your mama's inauguration together, Wisco.
That'd be cool. But I don't know what they're waiting for to pull the trigger on Trump anyway, but DeSantis scares me actually a little more than Trump, because I think if it's possible, he's smarter than Trump, a little more smooth, if you know what I mean.
And but he's also a little man, much like Trump. But Trump got the national platform. He's had the presidency, and he has like 33% of the nation behind him. And DeSantis may have the more logical, the Paul Ryan sort of Republicans, but how'd that work out the last time around for Scott Walker or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio? When you put him up next to Trump, Trump is the right kind of crazy for the GOP base. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not usually wrong. Last 30 seconds are yours, Pizza Box. What do you got for us?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Wisco, Paul. Don't be scared of those clowns, man. We still got us, right? We the people. Hey, you guys have seen that movie, The Fockers, haven't you?
Yeah.
Meet the Parents sequel, yes.
Every Republican is a mother. See what I did there?
I do, Pizza Box. You're so clever. Folks, thank you all for listening. That makes you all very, very clever people, and you have excellent taste. You're going to give the podcast for the holidays, because you're also probably cheap like Dom. I triple dog dare you, Dom, in eight. Dom in eight. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed. My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 96.